Did you ever think this is going so slow? This process, we've got a committee picking colors and all that, and it had to be trying sometimes.
Yeah, it was. I kind of liken my position two things, an executor, which is taking concepts and ideas and then getting it built, but also as a cruise director. We had a couple hundred people, consultants, engineers, architects, and contractors that were engaged in managing the construction. Then you had 700 workers that were executing in the field. Then you had a board of directors, you had George, and so a cruise director trying to keep everyone happy and working together and then making decisions because you have to keep the whole thing on task. But we had an unbelievable team. The brilliance of the architects, the contractor being able to take those ideas and get it built, George having the vision and our board having the vision. When you look at it, we really did have the dream team to get this accomplished. We had a lot of city work that was done. Leadership there was extraordinary from the mayors. We had two mayors that the project was built under, and then the public works director and all of the public works people. I mean, everyone worked together to make this happen for our city.
Another place to visit, the land of the river giants.
Yeah.
And the wildlife indigenous to the Arkansas River. Speak about that.
Monstrum in Copenhagen, a really creative playground manufacturer. This guy created these little playhouses for their kids' nursery school. That's how the business started. And he was in a little 20,000 square foot warehouse where he had these carpenters. You can see the creativeness of the pieces we have. We were trying to come up with ideas. They had built these really large northern pike. We went to Sweden and actually looked at some of the pikes, and they have pike in the waters there. Here, we were kind of thinking of a bass or a catfish. But the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife had found these prehistoric paddlefish that they did not think were still in the Arkansas River. They found a hole up by I-44, like 100 feet deep, and they put a camera in it, and there were literally hundreds, if not thousands, of these old paddlefish, and they had no idea. This happened right in the same year that we were trying to figure out what kind of play pieces we were going to have. The paddlefish, it just kind of hit us. Wouldn't it be cool? And the architects immediately took those videos that we had, and we sent them to the folks at Monstrum, and they came up with the paddlefish that is there. The blue herons, of course, you can't go anywhere in ponds or rivers or lakes here in Oklahoma without seeing a blue heron. So the blue herons and the paddlefish, they're on the coffee mugs downstairs and on our water bottles. They've become the iconic pieces of the park. In fact, the blue heron, is one of our mascots. The kids just love them, but even the adults. Again, the architects and the playground designers really did a great job of making this park Tulsa's park.
And Oklahoma's park.
And Oklahoma's park,
I mean,
totally.
The material came from across the state of Oklahoma. The Royal Tower is kind of a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's the tallest structure. The kids love it. They can go to the top. The rope bridges, the swinging bridges. There's a lot of parts to the playground the kids just absolutely love.
You've alluded to this, I think, but is it true 350 pieces of equipment from Germany?
Yeah, from southern Germany, Frohsdorf, Germany, from Copenhagen, from the Netherlands. All of the Skywalk Forest is all German Compan designed and built that equipment. And some of the play pods that are along the banks of the Arkansas River are Compan equipment, too.
Timber from the Alps for the wooden play accessories.
That's right, the Black Forest.
What's the name of that company? I can't pronounce it.
Richter.
Richter what?
Spielgate.
Spielgate,
yeah.
How did you get connected to them?
Michael Van Valkenburg and Associates had used them on the Brooklyn Bridge Park. The playgrounds there, I think, was the first time they'd used them. And then Maggie Daly Park, they built two towers. This is the largest installation of Richter equipment in the world. It's also the largest installation of Monstrum equipment, too. And it's the first installation of their equipment in the U.S. So there's a lot of firsts from the playground equipment. Playground, I would say it's the heart of the park. It occupies 5 acres. We built Guthrie Green downtown. It's a performance music park. It's in the Arts District. It's in the heritage of Canes and the Old Lady on Brady, or what's now the Tulsa Auditorium. And the gathering place is a park for families. So the playground really was the centerpiece of design, and things just kind of emanated from it. The boathouse with the kids' programming and adult programming, and then the play pods along the banks of the Arkansas River, the skate park and BMX, all those things. People wanted stuff for older kids. There wasn't enough. You go and look, and there's kids from all over our city in those areas, and the sport courts on the far south end. The playgrounds are really, it's really the heart of the park.
So that part of the concept is working. I know George Kaiser wanted to bring people together from all races and backgrounds, economic levels, And you see that happening from what you just talked about, don't you?
Through design and through programming.
Yeah.
It was kind of a theory. It was an objective. And then it was a theory of design. And you never really know if it's going to happen. But from the day it opened, in these first 100 days, it really is bringing all walks of life in our city together. And that was really the driving goal for the park.
Yeah. The Wetland Gardens, the north end of Peggy's Pond, mm-hmm. boating, fishing, wildlife, habitat, observation. First of all, let's clarify, which Peggy are we talking about when we say Peggy's Pond?
Peggy Stevenson. Peggy and Charlie Stevenson were one of our very early park supporters. They just embraced this design and the aesthetics, the architecture, the concept of play and bringing our community together. And they were one of our earliest ardent supporters. Charlie wanted to honor his wife by naming the pond after her. So that's why it's called Peggy's Pond.
What kind of wildlife are we seeing in Peggy's Pond? Where did it come from?
There's wild grasses and flowers that ensconce the whole wetland area and north of pond area. After we had opened, there were thousands of monarch butterflies here in the park. I took a picture and posted it on social media. There were thousands of monarch butterflies all along the banks of the pond. Birds, frogs. We have so much wildlife in just the first 100 days that have come back into the park after construction. Birds with the bald eagles. Chip West, one of our horticulturists, has been taking pictures of the different birds we see. I think as time goes, you're just going to have a lot more wildlife coming back in and throughout the park. The other thing that I was fascinated with during construction, we had talked for, 20 years about access to the river's edge and getting down to the river's edge and having exposure to the river's edge with our parks. The gathering place delivered on that promise. The migratory waterfowl, the thousands of ducks that will settle on the pond at night and then take off in the morning, and the eagles up and down the river. There's just a lot of wildlife, and I think a lot of our programming and our wildlife and conservation attention will really engage the youngest and oldest to see what's going on up and down this river corridor.
That pond you created.
You dug it out.
How is it fed?
It's a very interesting story. It has 9 underground water wells that run on the south and eastern edge of the park. All that water then comes out of those 9 wells into the pump room that's underneath the water play area in the playground and then pushed into the pond. Then it's pumped from the north end of the pond up to the 2 cisterns in the wetland garden, and then it is naturally purified through the swales and the cisterns, settling out all the heavy chemicals and sediment within the water and pushed into the pond. Then the pond water is used to irrigate the entire site. It's actually a functioning irrigation system. Holding tank. It's man-made. It was dug out. Another thing we found, you know, I can remember when we purchased the house from Dan Buford, he had a basement in the house and talked about the water being in there. Even when it didn't rain, he would have some water. Well, when we were digging out this area on kind of the west side of the lodge, we came across a spring. We took a 4-inch PVC and threw it to the pond. It's actually located over here on the west side of the lodge. We thought it would run out. But it has been running constantly since we tapped it. So that water goes into the pond. It doesn't fill the pond completely, but there is spring water that comes out and goes straight into the pond. It's kind of an interesting tidbit. We had no idea about the spring underneath.
I'm curious where that is. There's a spring beneath all of this?
Spring beneath the park, beneath the lodge building.
That's just naturally there.
That's right, and we have it emptying out into the pond. But the pond comes from all of the wells that we've dug, and that's where the water comes from.